And it is 10 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 1 p.m. in the East Coast, and it is 8 p.m. in Jerusalem, Israel, the Holy Land. Today is August 3rd, 2015, and this is Oily Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio Studio One, we are going to talk to the most incredible person that arrived to our show today with the grace of God. And I'm telling you, I know that things were changing and life is taking you, but as the world starts to settle from all the hoo-ha that we had in the last few months, we need the power of those people who can bring us wisdom, some kind heart, and a lot of good energy to bring us, you know, across the river, as they say. We are here with a very dear person, McKinney Maria, and I'm so happy to have you here. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
It's my pleasure to be with you today.
Thank you. Did I pronounce your name right?
It's a very difficult name to pronounce. It's Malia McKinney, or you can just refer to me as Mia. It's a lot easier.
Okay. Oh, Mia is beautiful. Mia in Italian means it's mine, and usually women that are called Mia, it means that they're close to the heart of the people. Now, I'm embracing you today because I'm a great believer in God. And when he sends me messengers with great message, I'm so happy to have them. And I would like you to share your thought with the audience.
Well, I think that the essence of everyone's consciousness comes within our hearts that we've all been born in and established in. And my biggest mission right now is to heal the world with music. That music is the language that we all speak. It was a gift that God gave us in the beginning. You can refer to Revelation when he had his dispute with the most beautiful angel in the world and had to cast out of heaven. It was all about music. The one thing that people don't identify in the dynamics of music is how it correlates and just relates to our inner spirit. It's a sixth sense, if you will, that we just take for granted every day. Music is everywhere. And so my mission is to use positive lyrics, positive messages, and bringing hope and inspiration to society in hope that they'll start using the music for a more positive foundation for this generation to begin to learn and to fix and to fill in the cracks of the world, as well as to establish our generations to come. My biggest thing is that the conscious state, you know, is our spiritual state, and it needs to be fed and nourished every day with compassion, love, hope, inspiration, faith, grace, mercy, all the things that our Lord has taught us in the Word. So with that being said, you know, I just kind of cloned it all within my company in Conscious Music Entertainment, and I work with artists, foundations, organizations, companies, and anybody that generally has a heart and is just tired of the violence and wants to be involved and just, you know, incorporate some love and some of this music so that there's choice. Right now we're just so swamped with the violence in music, you know. I mean, one of the greatest cultural music that was ever established was rap. You know, it depicted the culture of the black culture and how they struggled throughout time. But unfortunately, they took it to the street, and then they had to add profanity, and profanity grew like a weed. And now we're just overwhelmed with just the violence in our children who learn from everything.
Yes, I agree. And let me share something. When you start talking about music, I saw the amount of people that join together to listen to concert is immense. There is no other tool in the world that bring together so many people at one format to just to listen to a concert. And you're absolutely right that when they took it to the street and make it a weapon to, you know, to send the wrong message, it actually evolved. So we need to return it back to the real message of, you know, goodness to the street. You're absolutely right.
Absolutely. It's important that we plant seeds that's building a garden and not seeds that's planting weeds, because we're a product of environment. And what we reap, we eventually sow. And unfortunately, until we understand the dynamics of music and how it intercedes with our spirit and our soul and how it just influences and our persona alone, there's always going to be that piece that's just not filled in and understood in music.
Now, what kind of music, where can we find your kind of music? You know, because the selection is everywhere, but we need to find your, do you have a group that you're playing with, or some play with you, or there is a selection of songs that are collected especially for the spirit?
Absolutely. You can go to my personal website, which is MaliaMcKenney.biz, or you could go to any of the music outlets on Reverb Nation, Amazon, iTunes, under Conscious Music Entertainment, and you will find a listing of songs that is designed to feed the spirit and the soul and to bring consciousness to the forefront.
All right,
I was just going to say, and I just wanted to send out a shout out and a lot of love and gratitude to Ray Charles, the legendary musician Ray Charles, who is known internationally, passed on in 2007. But his daughter, Sheila Ray Charles, who was wonderful enough to step up and do the recording for We Are Hope, which is being embraced by the Joel Osteen Ministries as a theme song for their project Generation Hope. I just want to give them all a shout out and thank you so much for coming on board.
That's a great. What's the name of the song again? We Are Hope?
We Are Hope.
That's so nice. And she's the daughter of Ray Charles. What's her name?
Her name is Sheila Ray Charles.
Wow. I'm so happy to know that the continuation of Mr. Charles is on, because he was one of the greatest of all. And We Are Hope is a song that I'm going to look it up, and maybe we can play it soon on if we are available to bring it to the show. So we'll love to put it, because Sheila Ray Charles definitely deserve a stage here, and every time I can give her a chance to make the, you know, We Are Hope featured here, I'll be very happy to do so. No, you know, any forces that come together this time to join and tell the world that we can go and turn the page on history and the bad time, and, you know, we're not going to push the button, and we're just going to go on and it will be okay. That's my friend. And you are, Maria, today you are my new friend, and I hope that you come again on the show and give us some hope and understanding, and we'll have the music going on anytime you want. That's a promise, sweetie.
Oh, well, we truly appreciate it, because the more the music's heard, the more it resonates into the universe, and people get that opportunity to be inspired just by the lyrics alone. I really want to put a little footnote in that during the time that We Are Hope was written, I was diagnosed with cancer, large B, stage 4. Many doctors said, just make her comfortable, but I said, you're not my physician, the Lord is. And he brought me that song, and he also brought me the voice of Sheila Ray Charles in some of the most gruesome time in my life, and fighting for my own life, when the song aspire to be what it is. In 2013, the song took home from the International Music Entertainment Association Song of the Year and went on to be nominated for a Grammy. So I really believe that it was anointed, and I still do today, that the song itself was meant to be heard by many, and just to resonate the message that the Lord wants everyone to understand is that there is love, hope, and faith within each of us. We just have to exuberate it into the universe and learn to be more compassionate and loving towards each other.
Absolutely. Hallelujah for that. I'm really honored to have you today on the show. I appreciate you coming on, and please come again and tell me how you feel, because I feel that something is changing, in the air. I hope you feel that too. And we'll find the song, and we're going to find it, and we're going to play it, okay, as soon as we can. All right?
All right. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming, and I really, really enjoy talking to you. We're going to be having some break right now and be right back after that.
Tears, my heart is dry. I don't laugh and I don't cry. I don't think about you all the time, but when I do, wonder why. You had to go out of my door and leave just like you did before. I know I said that I was sure, but rich men can't imagine Paul. One day, baby, we'll be old. Oh, baby, we'll be old and think of all the stories that we could have told. So one day, baby, we'll be old. Oh, baby, we'll be old and think of all the stories that we could have told.
All right, and this was the Safi Dan, Israeli guy. You wouldn't believe it, but he plays and he says, what the story you're going to tell when you be old, or what stories actually you would think that you should have told the world. Now, let's think about it. We are here, and of course, it's our time in the universe, and I'm speaking to you, and I got the honor to do so every time, and I never take you for granted, and I know that what we're doing together is essential, because the world was, on the verge of going crazy. There was explosion everywhere. People were going bananas. And still, they're trying to shake the boat. Now, shaking the boat is because of fear, not because of, hostility. Sometimes we misinterpret what the people are doing. So I'm talking in generic terms, not to put in the middle anybody. But people need to understand that it's nobody's blame. We are in together. We are a factor of each other. And if we understand the universe and God, we understand that we are all part of it. So if one time, as they said, the butterfly that, flicker wings in one place in the universe, and the other side can be hurricane or earthquake. So let's not assume that, it's everybody else's fault, and we need to take responsibility. Now, how are we going to go about it? How are we going to start anew? Because it's time to start anew. We have the ability. The ability is like, turning a page. Now, it's not a book. We're writing the history as we talk, but it's like we open a page in Facebook. We open a page in anything. Now, this world has agreed to talk to Iran. People don't like the particular of the thing. But we need to look at the bigger picture, stating that having an agreement is already a success. So whoever wants to blame John Kerry for not bringing a good deal, I would call you again and said you brought them to the table, of course, with the president. And they talked for 2 years. They spent the time and the effort. And now they're going to every other country to explain what they did. But the truth of the matter is, it's not about if it's 100% kosher, as we say, or if Iranians decide that they don't want to kill the Israelis or they want to be friends with American. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because to them, to hate somebody, it doesn't make sense anyhow. You know, at the end of the day, they decide countries not their liking. So what they're going to do, they're going to start to force their way around. You know America is stronger. You know Russia will not let it be. You know Germany is in control there. You know Britain is a great nation. You guys cannot think that whatever you do, you're doing by yourself. And we're all working together now. That's the deal. That's the big deal. Now we have United Nations that needs to come to play. And we have Africa that need to decide to have food and play, you know, and start placing, you know, a set of rules for the country and relax that conduct. We are going into a globalized world. Nothing we can do about it. It's the internet. And we are all together in this. And, you know, people cannot vanish and they cannot disappear, even if they think they can. Now, with the method of globalized effort, we're going to find a lot of missing people. I know the Americans are really top-notch in this, and the Brits are incredible. Europe. And now, if we have the collaboration of the rest of the world, we can find all those people that have been snatched because we have epidemic of that, people being snatched. And you know, not a few days ago, we had a story about the Malaysian airliners, piece of the same airplane came about. And they decided that it might be the solution, it might reveal what happened. But let's say the truth. It is not that. We all know that, right? They know that. It's you know, it's a metal object found on the beach, and in some form or another, they might be connecting. But let me tell you a story. Story about oracles. Do you know oracles? God sent us in the world some people who have the ability to see through stuff. It's not that they are you know, magician or stuff like this. It's just the vision is clear. There are things that they get revealed to, like the secret. They have this box of secret and every time. So they're tapping into it, and they get revelation. It's not, they can do anything about it. It just happened to them. And, you know, how you test it? You test it if there will be a question of issue that comes truth. If, you know, something comes truth, you know that it was truth, so the person knows what he's talking about. For example, I know for a fact that when the election in Israel went on, people thought that they're going to win from the Labor Party. But that beautiful oracle told me, no, the other one, you know, the party that could is going to have 29 seats. And sure enough, they did. And we knew that, you know, in our heart that it was true. But we started celebrating very early because we knew it, but it came about. Now, the story about the Malaysian airplane, it happened to, you know, I listened to the story. And day after day, I'm getting this person telling me, you know, I'm having dreams about that. And I'm saying, what the dream is all about? I said, that airplane was snatched. What do you mean snatched? Well, it's been hitting on the island. And I'm saying, what do you mean an island? He said, oh, the trees, there are trees there of, you know, with leaves, with pocketers, yellow pocketers. And it's interesting. It all sounds crazy, right? So I've been looking, I'm going into the internet looking around for, you know, in that area, what kind of trees can be. And I found that when you have apple trees that they go bad, the yellow tree become, the leaves become with yellow dots. It means that it's place where there are apple trees. So I'm telling, and what happens then? I said, well, those people were taken, and inside there is a person that knows the internet. And sure enough, there was an FBI guy on that plane. He said, that internet is being forced to do stuff so they can know what the world is doing. And I'm saying, okay, what are they doing? They're covering them. They're gone, and they're hiding them in a place, and nobody, and the plane is hidden. Now, on that plane, they had batteries. They had batteries, loads of batteries in the where you put the suitcase places, there was batteries. You know, I don't know what it is, but it was a battery for some reason, and they got dispensed off. That's what I told. So here we go. This is a story. They're talking about the disappearing. They never found any pieces, any evidence that died. My oracle that came through for us already before told that there was eating in some place. Now, in here, it was a year ago, I passed, I told somebody, and you know, it's really funny, but you know, you can't go after this kind of information, but whatever it is, they're not in the dead, so probably they're in the living. Just imagine if you have 200 people sitting underground, being slaved by somebody, because that guy, and the purpose of that, they wanted that airplane. They wanted their airplane to do something very bad to America. So telling you that was the story. Now, it's crazy. I need some music. Let's stop that. Let's get some music and we go to our normal routine after.
Long are the days when you're turning away from the reasons you struggle. Long is the way when you're aching to say, but your teeth bite your tongue. Loud is the wind in your ears when you spin as you look for the sun.
All right, and we are back. And, you know, it's only Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. I'm so sorry. I had to share that story because those people are gone, and some matter if they're, we need to look for them. It doesn't matter. You know, you guys do whatever you need, but let's pray together so they'll find them. Now, we have the Iran deal. As I said, it doesn't really matter if they're planning not to obey or they're thinking they're sneaking on us. The truth of the matter, they're going to obey. Now, the UN already approved it, so I got a spot just to talk about it. Let's listen to that.
The United Nations Security Council voted unanimously today to approve the nuclear deal negotiated in Vienna last week. The vote was 15-0, and it sets the stage for the lifting of economic sanctions in exchange for limits on Tehran's nuclear capabilities. In Washington, President Obama hailed the endorsement and called on Congress, which now has 60 days to review the deal, to approve it.
There is broad international consensus around this issue. Not just among the international community, but also among experts in nuclear proliferation. My working assumption is that Congress will pay attention to that broad-based consensus.
The president made the remarks as he met with Nigeria's President Muhammadu Buhari. It is his first White House visit since he was elected in March in Nigeria's first democratic transition of power in decades.
In Turkey, an explosion rocked Suruç near the border with Syria, killing 31 people. Turkish officials said the attack appeared to be a suicide bombing inspired by the Islamic State group. The midday explosion took place at a cultural center as a group of young political activists was wrapping up a news conference. Nearly 100 people were wounded.
The death toll from fierce fighting in Yemen yesterday has now risen to nearly 100. Shiite rebels bombarded a town close to the port city of Aden. The head of an international aid group says Sunday's fighting was the worst day in 3 months. Meanwhile, Saudi-led fighter jets kept up their bombing campaign and hit a popular market in the Yemeni capital of Sana'a.
A NATO airstrike on two Afghan military checkpoints killed 7 Afghan troops today. Afghan officials described it as an accident. Taliban fighters were clashing with troops near their remote checkpoints in Logar province at the same time coalition helicopters flew overhead. Afghan President Ashraf Ghani expressed his profound sorrow over the incident and ordered an investigation.
There were more questions than answers today in the death of a young black woman in a Texas jail last week. Correspondent William Brangham has our story.
We've strategically picked this place because we know we're standing on a crime scene.
Religious leaders and community activists spoke today outside the Waller County Jail, the same Texas jail where 28-year-old Sandra Bland died under mysterious circumstances a week ago. The incident began on July 10th. In this video, filmed on a bystander's cell phone, Bland is seen being pinned to the ground by two state troopers. The troopers say Bland had just assaulted an officer after they'd pulled her over for a traffic violation. Bland was arrested and taken to the county jail. 3 days later, she was found dead in her cell. The sheriff's office say Bland committed suicide by hanging herself with a plastic bag. Officials also pointed to a Facebook video Ms. Bland posted several months ago.
All right. We had just a little of everything because what's really important to understand is that we're going to start wrapping up all of it. You know, the Afghan deal, they couldn't be a mistake. You know, they bombarded in Afghan. Then they're talking about the Kurds that died, 250 Kurds. Because we want the buffer zone, but so you blow people up in Iraq and, you know, in Syria. What's wrong with that? So somebody has to start taking control over the situation in Turkey, because the fact that Turkey has an agreement doesn't mean that she can go and bombard the Kurds. It's a well-known fact that they don't approve of each other, and they had a ceasefire agreement with the PKK, and they need to go back and settle it. There is no reason in the world that in one day they're going to go and explode them for nothing. I'm saying that because I know how futile life is in the Middle East. They didn't care, and they don't care about all the Syrian children. They don't care about all this devastation. Of course, we care about every human being, but for some reason, the world is not paying attention and doesn't move for action. The Iraqi deal is settling down, maybe or maybe not, but I know that there are boots. There is already skin in the game. And as far as Syria goes, there is people that have been snatched. There are people that disappeared there. There are people, you know, that's from Czech Republic, they're Italian. There are other people of journalists that disappear there. You know, for some reason, they stop talking about Syria because all the journalists are gone. Nobody's talking about Syria anymore. I don't understand how we can just pretend this incredible torture stuff doesn't happen. We need to go and settle it down. We need to start calling it ceasefire. Ceasefire is the name of the game. There is nothing that we can do. We have to start putting forces, coalition together, Russian could do that. You know, Russian have a talk with the Syrian government, and the rebels have a talk with the American. Let's use fire over there. Let's get the people, you know, that's running away to shelter. Let's start organizing the Middle East to be as it's supposed to be. Life is precious. We have the obligation to, you know, to help those people. But it's not just make a big camp, bring some food. It's summer. They can be, but let them go through. There is a start of a school year. They already wasted so much time. No school. The children, what do you pretend to be with them? How anybody can just forget that it's our responsibility as world? United Nations, for God's sake, it's important to start elevating that pain from those people. They hate us, you know, in Israel, but who cares? I care about their lives because they're, you know, they're neighbors. And one day they'll be friends too. Nothing I can do about this now, but it doesn't matter. I'm calling all those angels. And I'm praying to God to give them some sanity in all this. The Greece is over, you know, the bridge with that. They're going to settle. They're going to start working again. European mechanism is going to start, you know. The German needs to give work to more people. And the immigration is going to flow less if we're going to settle what's going on in Libya, Syria, Iraq, and Turkey. And Turkey needs to lift their finger from the Gaza. They need to let those Kurds be. No way we're going to sit here and see them slaughtered. No way. It's not happening. And whoever start talking about the Palestinian right, and please don't, just don't. We have to take care of now about, you know, those floaters. Don't put pressure on Israel, nothing else on this matter, because nothing will happen anyway. People in Israel, they live with each other. There was a hoo-ha about, you know, burning. They burn, you know, they're fighting to the bone now because the hostility, the pressure from the outside bring them to hate each other. Just let them be. The people in Judea and Samaria are mixed. They're mixed neighborhoods. Don't put pressure. And by all means, Israel is not going to evacuate all those settlers, as they're called, because it's a disputed area. It's never been Palestinian. We want to recognize that the land of Palestine was given to the Jewish people, and then, you know, they cohabitate. They didn't have the title to the land, and whatever the division of United Nations is something we need to dispute yet. But it's all in a good moment. Right now, you got too many wars on your hand, United Nations, European Union, and America, Canada, Australia, England. You have to come to be. To be or not to be, it's not just a sentence. To be is to exist, to make the world better. And you guys cannot go to sleep on your beautiful, beautiful, you know, pillows when all those kids are thrown up in the street. You know, this Holocaust Museum that is all over the world is give a lesson to what not to have anymore. Now, that lesson is not just for the Jews, it's for the rest of the world. We're not going to have it. And those, you know, guerrilla needs to... The men needs to take charge and do their thing because, you know, they can negotiate, it takes... They want something, it takes negotiation. You settle with Iran, So would the rest of them, one by one, country after country. They could globalize. Let's start a coalition of the willing, as President George W. Bush used to say. You're willing to be, to exist for this world. It's about time. All right, now we have a presidential election coming up in America, and we have a contender, Donald Trump. Let's say, you know, he's a charming man. We love him. He's wonderful. When he's funny, he's funny. And he's beautiful. And he represents everything that America can give, the dream to everybody. I think that he's good. I think that he has the power to do the right thing for America. I don't know how much American will choose a non-political contender, but let's see. Let's listen what he has to say. We have some soundbite of him.
First of all, Hillary Clinton gave her first interview yesterday in a long, long time. First national interview she gave it to CNN. You give interviews all the time. You're out there. You're talking extemporaneously. Why do you think Hillary Clinton is not talking?
Well, Anderson, she's got a lot to hide. She gets a subpoena on emails, and she, I mean, from the United States Congress, and she gets rid of the emails and her server and everything.
She said yesterday in the interview, by the way, she didn't get a subpoena. There is no subpoena.
I mean, they said they issued a subpoena, but you're right. I mean, she handled it like, you know, what's going on? How can you do that? She has a lot to hide. She doesn't want to talk to the press. Look, she was the worst Secretary of State in the history of the United States.
But she used to donate, I mean, you gave a lot of money
sure,
to her over the years.
Because I was a businessman, I guess I still am, but I was a businessman. I was with everybody. Everybody loved me. When I called them, they always treated me well. And that's part of the game. And that's part of what's wrong with this country. Because as a businessman, I could have gotten anything from anybody. And that is part of the problem. Lobbyists, donors,
well,
special interests.
Is that why you were donating your money to the people you donated? Because you donated to Democrats. I think in 2006,
sure,
you gave $20,000 to the Democratic Congressional Campaign Fund. You gave
$1,000.
Democrats
and Republicans. Well, I get along with everybody.
You gave $1,000 to Republicans.
Oh, whatever. I've given millions. Now, I've given millions to everybody.
So do you give, though, based on principles, or do you give based on who's going to do things for you politically?
They all love me. Let's put it that way. They all love me. I'm a very, very, I did very nicely in life. And frankly, you give, and it's part of the problem. And I talk about it all the time. Part of the problem.
So even though you're doing it, you're saying it's a problem.
Well, I'm saying this. They won't necessarily do what's right for the country. They'll do what's right for their special interest, their donor, their lobbyist, etc. Not good for the country.
But you know, when you're going to get on the stage during those debates, and your Republican challengers are going to say, look, you're all over the place politically. You say you're a conservative Republican. You're giving money to Hillary Clinton, Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi.
I get along with everybody. And that's part of the problem we have in the country.
So you
also
were giving money based on political beliefs. You were giving money based on currying favor, like many people do.
People love me. And you know what? I've been very successful. Everybody loves me.
Politically, the other thing they're going to say is you're a flip-flopper politically. You say now you're a conservative Republican. Smoking gun goes back to 87 with your registration record. You were Republican, then you were independent, then you were Democrat for 8 years, then you were unaffiliated, then you were Republican. Then
you have to look at what Ronald Reagan did.
He switched around, too.
Not so much different.
Well, to somebody who says, though, look, you're the guy who said you're the stand-up guy, you're a decision maker, you seem to kind of be indecisive politically.
You do have to understand that I'm in New York City. It's virtually impossible in New York State. If you look, I think it's 3-1 Democrat to Republican. It's virtually impossible. So as a businessman in New York City, and now all over the world, but as a businessman in New York City, I have to get along with Democrats. If I don't get along with Democrats, I'm sort of like out of business.
But were you a Democrat when you said you were a Democrat?
I was a Democrat for a period of time early on, and then I was also an independent, and then I became a Republican.
I got to ask you about a couple things in the news. Washington Post, as you know, say that some of the workers building this beautiful hotel that you're building down in Washington, D.C., are illegal. They've talked to 15 workers. They said a number of those 15 came here legally through asylum. They're now legal, but that a number of them did say they're illegal. Isn't it hypocritical for you saying that illegal immigration is killing this country to be employing illegal immigrants?
I read the story, and by the way, that story does not name any names. I'd love them if they could give us the names, but they said they spoke to one or two But they don't name them, and they don't even know if it's true.
What they say is several of the men who hail mostly from El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala have earned U.S. citizenship or legal status through immigration programs targeting Central Americans fleeing civil wars or natural disasters. Others quietly acknowledge that they remain in the country illegally. They don't give numbers.
They have to give us the names because we have, you know, many
illegal, or they're not going to give you names.
They have to give us the names, and I have to say this. We believe so strongly. I hired a very big contractor, one of the most prestigious, one of the best in the world, to build the building. It's their responsibility to make sure they have
Doesn't
done.
Doesn't the buck stop with you, though?
Yes,
You're
it does.
You're paying their salaries.
Oh, absolutely. We have gone out of our way to make sure that everybody in that building is legal. And we do have some that were, that became legal. And wait a minute. We have some, many, I think, that became, frankly, me, you, everybody. I mean, ultimately, we were all sort of in the group of immigrants, right? But we have done that to the absolute letter of the law. We're very, very careful
on it. But if the Washington Post can go there and talk to 15 people and find some illegal immigrants.
They haven't shown us anything. I wish they would give us some names. We would get them out immediately.
But you must have a guy on the job site.
We have more than one guy,
right.
And we check it probably more carefully than any job that was ever built. Anderson, you have either 11, anywhere from 11 to 34 million illegal immigrants in this country. They're all over the place. Nobody knows even where they come from. They probably come some from the Middle East. You don't know where they're coming from. We check on that building probably more carefully than anybody that's ever built a building before. And I think from what I heard, and I just checked it this morning because I asked a question because I read the article also, we are absolutely in beautiful, perfect shape. Now, I wish they'd give us the names. We would get rid of them immediately.
This isn't the first time, though, this has been an issue. Daily Beast today, there's an article. I don't know if you've seen it. The headline says, they're talking about the building we're sitting in right now. They're saying Trump Tower was built on undocumented immigrant backs.
How many years ago was that?
This was, 75
years ago.
35 years ago.
Yeah, they said 35 years ago.
But this was a court case. 200 illegal immigrants, Polish workers, guys working for $5.
Anderson, I hire a contractor. The contractor then hires a subcontractor. They have people. I don't know. I don't remember. That was so many years ago. 35 years ago, they said we had some
illegal immigrants. This was a court case settled in 1999. You settled with them.
It's all right. I mean, it's fine. I mean, I remember the case. Frankly, I remember it very well. We hire contractors. The contractor, very highly prestigious, very good. They go out, hire subcontractors. Sometimes the subcontractors will have people working, but, you know, it's pretty far down the line.
This was 200 Polish workers working without hard hats. Pretty noticeable on a union job.
When you have to go back 35 years to tell me about something, I think that's pretty pathetic, to be honest with you.
Do you think, can you guarantee that you don't have illegal or undocumented workers working for you in hotel projects or various projects?
I can't guarantee it. How can anyone? We have 34 million in the country. I used to hear 11. Now I hear it's 34 million. I can't guarantee anything. But I can say this. We work very hard to make sure that everybody is legal as opposed to illegal.
There's, as you said, 11, who knows how many millions, 11 million, one figure,
nobody knows.
Right, nobody knows.
By the way, most scary of all, our government doesn't know. They don't have an idea. They don't have a clue.
What would you do with the ones already here? You've talked about building a great wall on the border, or at least parts of the border, about being tough. What would you do with the ones that are already here?
I would do something very, very strong. Number one, I wouldn't even think about anything until I built a wall, impenetrable. There will be nobody coming into this country illegally. That's number one. Number two, I would get the ones that are criminals, drug dealers, and the people that are forced in by Mexico. And you know exactly what I'm talking about, because Mexico is smarter and sharper and more cunning and, frankly, have much better negotiators than we have. And I would get the ones that are forced in by the country of Mexico into our country, forced in. Those people would get out, and they'd get out fast. The rest I would be looking at very seriously. But I wouldn't.
Well, you said looking at citizenship seriously. Would there be a pathway to citizenship for, I mean, you're talking about 11 million at the very
it's
least.
It's too early for me to say. And when you say citizenship, the most we'd be talking about was legal. But let me just tell you, before I even think about that, we have to build a wall, a real wall, not a wall that people walk through.
Okay, you talk about focusing on the criminals, deporting people. There more people have been deported under Obama than any other president previously.
And more people are coming in under Obama by far than more president ever. There's never been an entrance like this. And they're walking in, they're walking right past our patrols.
But actually,
All right, and we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. I had to stop it because, you know, somebody has to talk to Donald Trump and tell him that he doesn't need to do all this with every journalist that tried to wrestle with him. And, you know, to be a diplomat takes also knowledge. To be a politician, you know, you have to have a big knowledge. To be the president of the USA, you need to have a great advisor team. Now, let's talk about that comment that they were saying about, you know, the Trump Tower that was built with illegal immigrants. And if it was built in 35 years ago, let's not forget that Reagan gave amnesty in 1987 to the, you know, all of them. So whoever wasn't legal then is legal now. So they have to stop it. And if Donald Trump knew a little about the law, he would know that. And it won't, you know, it won't come to surprise to him that, you know, he needs to struggle. And everybody in America knows that all the workers have fake ID, and there was no mechanism to even prove them or to check them. Of course, recently they were trying to do so, and they were, you know, telling you how much, you know, how much dangerous it is to put them, but then you don't know who they are or not, because you don't. And you cannot discriminate because they are Mexican or because they are from any other country. So, you know, if the government is want to really enforce a non-immigration, they need to make a method to find out which the legal or the fake ID is coming from, and the Social Security that they all, you know, it's funny because they're all using fake Social Security numbers, which are probably accumulating a lot of money from years of taxes that have been paid on their behalf, but nobody knows it. So let's ask the government to, you know, to check on all those and maybe pour it back to the poor and the needy. You know, it's politics is an art. You need to struggle with it in a good way, not fight it in the boxer way that Donald Trump. And Donald Trump, again, he's wonderful. Love him. Beautiful. Gorgeous. Everybody loves Donald Trump. But is he a politician? No. He cannot make it. He will make it for maybe. But they'll chew on him. You know, you give Lindsey Graham a shot, you know, he'll chew him. And he knows everything about the law. You can't run the primaries and not knowing, you know, the facts about foreign affairs. Oh, of course, he knows who hates who because it's on a card game. But the truth of the matter is what the business of the world is. And if you want to be the leader of the free world, it takes more than $8 billion because... takes, you know, the chief of the armed forces means that you have to know who against who for real. This is not kidding. And you cannot drop the ball in the middle of the game. That's why I'm saying whoever holding the ball right now is only John Kerry. And Lindsey Graham is really, really on top of everything. Trust me. He is on top of everything. And I love Rubio and I love... Jeb Bush. I think Jeb Bush knows everything too because he is a descendant of a grandeur of you know, a father president, a brother president, and a governor. And of course, he knows how to handle everything. No question about it. It comes to the question if you know, if he wants it bad enough. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't see the passion. I don't feel the passion. I don't feel the heat. And I know Lindsey Graham is, you know, from South Carolina, and I love his accent. He's good looking, and he speaks very well, and he knows his stuff well. Personally, I think that he's a man of great honor. Personally, I think that I like the man. I think that he's honest. is really honest. You know, that's kind of, and it's very strong. People do give him respect. So the fact that he's single is a problem? No, maybe not, you know. Yeah. Who said that he's not going to get married sometimes? Maybe we'll have a wedding in the White House, maybe. But if not, you know, he can be single. It's up to him. He doesn't have a problem, you know, America. Anyway, you're married to the job. What do you have time for? What? For to make cookies? I don't think so. So that's as far as the contender for the president for the USA. As far as the rest of the world, I know that people are getting around to another round of election to settle. But before that, we need to start calling on the coalition of the willing, start getting some leadership going after the break, the summer break, hoping that everything will go smoothly. And we'll probably have a lot to tell. And, of course, you know, there'll be a battle in Congress about the deal and what's the detail and how we're going to fight it. Everybody's going to say theirs. And the congressmen, the honorable, the senators and congressmen, they know their work and I trust in their judgment. And I know that God is great and I know God loves us and know that is him, and it's not us, so I have no problem. And whatever happens, it's in our making. We can make it or we can break it. It's up to us. You know, guys, it's always, always up to us. It's your choices. Make the right choice. Choose light and life. Trust in God. And walk with your heart and do the right thing. And if you did something wrong tomorrow, try to mend it. Ask for forgiveness. Say I'm sorry. And keep on going. God willing will give you the time to redemption. Amen. Anyway, I want to say goodbye. It's time to go and salute you with a little music and tell you that I love you. And thank you, Doug, for all your attention. And America, I miss you so much. You know, from the Holy Land, it's worth being here. It's important to be here, so I'm here. Come to visit. Summer in Israel is incredible. So Jerusalem is waiting for all. We'll make sure you are comfortable. So God bless you all. We'll talk to you on Wednesday with the European and Italian music, 7 p.m. Jerusalem time. God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Long are the days when you're turning away from the reasons you struggle. Long is the way when you're aching to say, but your teeth bite your tongue. Loud is the way.